everyone, and welcome back to the Royal Watcher podcast. I'm Saad Salman of the Royal Watcher, and I'm joined by our co-host, Sam of the Beaumont.
Hello.
So today we're going to talk about the state opening of Parliament, which has really been one of the grandest events in the UK that we've seen in quite a long time. Much grander than the so-called coronation.
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far, Sad. I mean, I wasn't a fan of the coronation, but...
I mean, I'm still going to be pissed off about that for years.
Yeah. I'll say that. We got more tiaras this time. We'll put it that way.
Yes, we did. And I think, overall, it was a much grander event. And this sort of thing is why we had the expectation for tiaras in the first place. Because if they're willing to don robes and tiaras and crowns at 11 in the morning on a random Tuesday.
Why not for the coronation? Yeah, I agree.
Exactly. But I think generally, like, as we get into it, it was quite an exciting day and one of those displays of pomp and pageantry that the British royal family is known for. So I think let's start with the first slide where we saw King Charles and Queen Camilla depart Buckingham Palace in the Diamond Jubilee State Coach, which is really one of the most magnificent carriages because it's very modern and it has a lot of modern amenities, but it's quite spectacular and the way the decoration is done. It makes it look very regal. And we saw King Charles, interestingly, in the tradition of King Edward VII, his orders were quite unusual in that he was wearing the sash of the Royal Victorian Order with the collar of the Order of the Garter, but generally he would be wearing the sash of the Scottish Order of the Thistle as his second most kind of highest order. So this was a very kind of unusual decision on his part.
I'll have to take your word for it. Okay.
Yeah. And I think on top of that, I believe that maybe because we're going to see a Scottish opening of Parliament sometime soon, and he'll probably wear the thistle for that, and he really just wants to differentiate the two.
Yeah, that's a good enough reason.
Probably. Yeah, and so we saw him in uniform. Queen Camilla was wearing her coronation gown. And I must say, I liked this appearance much better, and for both of them throughout the day, they were much more relaxed. Of course, there was the pageantry and the speech and all the ceremonial they had to get through. But from comparing it from the images of the coronation, both of them seem much more at ease in their role now than they were a few months ago.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, and so if we move on to the next slide, we'll see they departed Buckingham Palace in the coach. They arrived at the Palace of Westminster, where they went up the Sovereign Stairs, followed by the Queen's companions, as they're called, but also keep on calling them ladies in waiting.
Yeah.
I mean, why change it if it ain't broken? And there, the king and queen went to the robing room where they put on their cloaks and robes, and the king put on the imperial state crown, which is really the symbol of sovereignty, while Queen Camilla was wearing the George IV state diadem for the first time. And I wasn't really sure how it would suit her because it is not the biggest piece, but it is very regal. And I think she carried it off magnificently.
Yeah, no, I think it suits her. She's got one of those heads where it can be a bit difficult for tiaras. But no, that's quite a nice, nice piece and a very historic piece as well.
And as a circlet, it does work very well with her kind of big puffy hair, but it seems to suit the hairstyle.
Yeah.
And along with that, she was wearing a pair of large diamond earrings, the same ones that she wore at her coronation, and she's been wearing since 2019, I believe. And the diamond revere, which had a lot of people speculating, but my kind of final guess is that it's the revere that was given to Queen Alexandra by the City of London upon her wedding in 1863. And it's one of the pieces that was worn rarely by the late queen. I believe she wore it like two or three times in the past decade or so. That and Camilla wearing it is like a nice kind of indication of her wearing something that's not as tied to the late queen like the coronation necklace would be.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Imagine having so many revieres that you can't tell which is which.
Definitely.
But yeah,
this one, massive too.
Yeah, and I think you're right. The consensus is it's because everyone saw it and thought it was the coronation necklace minus the pendant, but I don't think they'd be mucking around with it if they've got other Rivieres in the, you know, in the vault. So
yeah, and the size of the stones is different. The coronation necklace has bigger stones and it sits higher on the neck, where this one has pretty large stones, mind you, but they do sit a bit lower, and there's a couple more stones in the coronation necklace.
Well, that's, you know, might signal our hope that Charles has been rummaging and we'll start seeing more and more historic pieces come out.
Oh, definitely. I think we've been seeing Camilla wear a couple of unworn pieces from the late queen. We saw the brooch in Germany. We saw the evening of the state opening, the king and queen attended a gala at the Royal Opera House. And she wore this interesting sapphire pendant necklace, which has been recently discovered that was worn by the late queen in childhood. So they're definitely bringing out pieces that are not as directly related to the late queen, but kind of form part of that personal collection, and they're digging through the vaults.
Yeah. Fingers crossed we get a bit more of it.
Definitely. So if you move on to the next slide, we can see the king giving his speech from the throne. And this is really what the state opening is all about, where the king reads the government written speech about their kind of budget. And
yeah, and can I just underline that for people who aren't familiar with it? Charles doesn't write the speech. These are not Charles's thoughts. These are not Charles's policies. He's given it by the government.
Oh, yeah. And you could really tell that, because there were, during the speech, there were some places where even his expressions were like he did not want to say it.
Yeah.
But as sovereign, he has no choice and he has to say whatever's written down.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, so everyone on Twitter, as usual, shut up.
Oh, yeah. They had a whole issue, or how dare he sit on the throne and talk about this, this, and this, but they have no idea what
he does.
Yeah. And I mean, there's so much kind of pageantry and so much ritual connected to this ceremony. There's a black rod who goes to the House of Commons and they shut the door on him, and it's on her actually nowadays. But there's a whole kind of series of rituals that are part of this whole parliamentary system. And it's for an outsider, it does seem slightly ridiculous at times, but it's really the part of the democratic process.
Yeah, we're strange, but it works.
It does work. And I mean, the pictures, the two of them sitting on the thrones and him reading the speech, it did seem very much like this sort of ceremony is back, because I started The Royal Watcher in 2016. And since then, we've only had two official full dress state opening of Parliament. The last few years have been quite unusual, and it's been such a, what should have been kind of been happening every year has now not happened for quite a long time. So to see this kind of back in full dress when many people fear that it's never going to come back like this is quite reassuring.
Yeah, we're back in business, baby.
Definitely. And so we saw again the king and queen's robes. People have been unsure, because Queen Camilla did not wear either of these robes during the coronation, so they're wondering which robe this one is and where it came from. But otherwise, quite a lovely gesture. I think let's move on to the next slide, where we talk about the main event. And the highest ranking peeress in the room was Princess Antonia, the Duchess of Wellington, who's wearing the magnificent Wellington tiara and that massive diamond rivier.
Absolutely huge. My jaw dropped when I saw that necklace.
Yeah, she wore it at the last state opening of Parliament, but we didn't get any proper pictures of her that time. This time, they were sure to get a couple good shots, and this just looks magnificent.
It's huge. I mean, I don't know. That central stone's got to be 10 carats at least.
Oh, definitely. And if you see in the collage of pictures that we have here, the Duchess on the very far left, she is wearing it as the base of the tiara. And that picture was taken at the wedding of Edward and Alexandra in 1863, the same wedding where Queen Alexandra was wearing the revere Queen Camilla was wearing on her gown. So it's one of those kind of historic parallels that is present for everyone.
Yeah. You see, history can be told via jewels, and there's the proof.
Yeah. And those earrings are also massive.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The nation was very grateful to Wellington.
Yes, we are. What with the new Napoleon film coming out, I think everyone can have a little history lesson.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, no. And Princess Antonia is a great friend of King Charles and Queen Camilla. And to see her there, not just as a friend, but as the senior ranking duchess, peeress in the stands because her husband is in the House of Lords. It was quite lovely to see her as almost as a support and the king and queen having some familiar faces around.
Yeah, she's also a cousin, isn't she? Like a very distant one. Yes, she
is. Well, yeah.
She's and a princess of Prussia, isn't she?
Yes, Princess of Prussia. Her grandfather was the last crown prince of Germany.
Yeah. Oh, she's one of them.
She is pretty high ranking in front of the from the Prussian perspective. And then her mother was a Guinness.
Oh, well, that helps.
That's where the money comes from.
Yeah.
We can talk about such a thing. But no, lovely to see her there. And she was really my top contender for if there was still going to be a Mistress of the Robes, that it would have been her. But I think she's probably busier.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if we move on to the next slide, we'll see who I do consider the Mistress of the Robe, which is the Marchioness of Lansdowne, who's wearing the magnificent diamond floral tiara.
Yeah.
And the same gown that she wore to the coronation.
Yes, and she's got her little cipher, I can see.
Yes, which is, I believe, a CR for
Camilla. Camilla. Yeah.
And then I thought that they had been given some sort of kind of lady-in-waiting badge or something, but turns out that's the coronation medal underneath.
Oh, they can produce those quick enough, but we're still waiting for the order.
Oh, yeah, that's what my first thought was, too.
Mm.
And beside her, we see the Queen Camilla's other lady-in-waiting, who's called Lady Sarah Keswick. And she was wearing a mystery diamond fringe tiara. She's the daughter of the 16th Earl of Dalhousie. But it's not a tiara that's been worn by anyone in her family. And I do think that I'm having kind of counted the diamonds on the individual fringes, that it may actually be Princess Mary's Harewood fringe tiara that she may have borrowed from the Westminster family.
Maybe. Mate, that's Maybe. Again, like the Rivieres with the fringe tiaras, unfortunately, they're very difficult to pinpoint. You know?
Yeah. But I mean, it did look quite magnificent and quite lovely to see that.
Mm.
Though I have to say, I am sorry not to see our favorite Lady Susan Hussey there because she's been at state opening since the 60s.
Well, can't have everything.
I know. And I think we can move on to the next slide where we see even more tiaras from the noble ladies on display. My kind of highlight it was the Hess turquoise and moonstone tiara worn by the lady on the right there. And that's one of those magnificent pieces that survived a plane crash and now belongs to Baroness Geddes, I believe it's called.
Okay.
So, and it's one of those lovely heirlooms where you can see there's a kind of sea of tiaras, a lot of which we cannot identify because we don't know the ladies or the families well enough.
Yeah, if anyone wants to drop us a name, then we'll do our own research. But yeah.
They're very Velcro. And then on the next slide, you can see the king and queen as they were departing the chamber. And this, I really loved watching this scene because that is what the state opening is all about with the pageantry aspect. There's the beefeaters on either side. There's the robes, the pages. Except Prince George, we saw kind of all the usual pages that they had at the coronation. So Camilla's grandchildren and the other pages. So it was lovely to see that.
Yeah, no, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, and I do wonder if they're going to kind of keep up with like some of the coronation stuff in which that Camilla's going to wear her coronation gown and that sort of thing for future state openings.
Yeah.
If that's like, yeah. But no, it's interesting that it happened because people were a bit disappointed at first. But then, I mean, the late queen wore her coronation gown for quite a few state openings in Parliament around the Commonwealth. So this is nothing too out of the ordinary.
Well, again, you know, there was that whole emphasis on the coronation that they're trying to be more sustainable. And yeah, it's not like you can have 10 versions of this thing. That's probably hand handmade, hand stitched, you know. So yes. If
and it has so much symbolism, so might as well make good use out of it.
Well, that's it, yeah.
Yeah. And now that was lovely. And then we can move on to the next slide where we see, after everything is done, the king and queen leaving the House of Parliament, and they're going home. And one thing I want to point out before we kind of reach our concluding thoughts is Queen Camilla has her little poppy pinned to her hand back there.
Oh, yeah.
Because the king had it on his uniform, but she did not necessarily put it on there. She had it somewhere on the outfit, which I found thought was really a kind of sweet touch.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Sam, what did you think about the state of Queen of Parliament?
I mean, it was nice to see that a little bit more pomp than we had at the coronation. Wish there were, as always, I'm never satisfied. I want more, more, more.
Yes, we do.
So I want everyone in tiaras, whether they want to be or not. But yeah, obviously, you know, I know everyone says it's tone deaf. We have a cost of living. Yeah, we do, we do, we do. But if we didn't do it, then questions would be asked. And, you know, if we're gonna have a nation built on, you know, history and, you know, tradition, then you got to do these things. So I'm glad they're doing it and they're doing it well.
Yeah, I think this was a very lovely kind of beginning to hopefully a long similar series of state of things Parliament throughout the king's reign, and a very kind of lovely way to signify that after the past kind of few years of COVID and political crisis that has prevented the sort of ceremony happening, that it's back.
Yeah.
So now it's lovely to see.
Yeah.
And I think that's it for today, and we look forward to talking to you next time.
Yep. Bye. Bye.